Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Hi everyone, thanks for coming back for another episode of the Book Speaks podcast. This is episode number 7, and this week I'm reading from indie author Izzy Shows, her debut indie novel, Grave Mistake, which comes from the Codex Blair series. Right now there are 3 books in the Codex Blair series by Izzy Shows. I just want to mention at the top of the show, those books are all on sale for 99 cents until April 30th. So if you're listening to the show before April 30th, 2017, hey, you can get these books for 99 cents. You should go grab them. They're a hot commodity. They're very, very popular. Because Izzy's books are urban fantasy, or at least what I would call urban fantasy, the prose is pretty tight-knit, pretty fast-moving, and as a result, the chapter that I'm reading today is fairly short. This is going to be a shorter show than usual. So I'm going to take advantage of some of that extra time to institute a new section of the show, a poetry reading. Now you're scratching your head and saying, wait a second, isn't this a show about indie authors? And aren't indie authors, the ones that we're reading from anyway so far, about the business of building an audience and selling books and marketing and ultimately making money to, you know, pay off a mortgage or leave their day job or go boat around in the Keys like Wayne Stinnett? Well, yes, that's some of it. But, you know, there's this idea in writing or in art in general. Are you doing it for love or for money? And there's this wonderful Rosalind James post on K-boards. Rosalind James is a fantastically popular romance author from New Zealand, I believe. If I'm wrong about that, sorry, Rosalind. And she entitled her post, "For Love and Money." that's sort of my philosophy, I'm hoping as well, you know, once I have books published. In the meantime, I am also a poet, so one of the things that I do regularly as part of my writing habit, in addition to getting some fiction words on the page every day, whether that's, you know, 3,000 words or like 100 words, is I also, I try to write a bit of poetry regularly. There was a portion of this last year where I was writing a poem every day, and the poem that I'll be reading today, entitled "Let Some White Dress Take Them," comes from that period. So, here is the poem. Let some white dress take them, lazy winter. Let some forgotten name evade their lips. The same for their birth, their death. Erase Omneris and shatter the golden cup. Fill up eternal wombs with thunder seed. Cover the sacred head with helm and bruise the heel of Eden. I'm trying to remember lost names, to see more than mirrors in faces. I'm trying to build a ladder in case we build a wall. I'm trying to take your broken art and make it into heart. Make it into sacred death. Make it into seed to bruise the thunder. Janus falls to puddles, and we stare in wonder, cursed and blessed by turn, and cursing and blessing in kind. The shards are fused together and find burning names to evade. Let some broken wall cover your lost winter heart. Let Eden fill birth with faces, eternal art. Let the golden cup burn in the lips of wonder, in the cover of some lazy puddle. Turn and remember, turn and build, evade the thunder, erase death, bruise the eternal wall, stare in turn at your broken mirror names, your cursed blessing seed, and make it yours. All right, so there's my poem for the day. Let some white dress take them. If poetry is your thing, I hope you enjoy that. And if it's not, thanks for humoring me. All right, so on to Izzy Shows. I first encountered Izzy Shows, drum roll please, on K-Boards, where she had posted a thread about her very successful launch of the book from which we're reading today, Grave Mistake. And since then, she's also posted about book two of the Codex Blair series, Blood Hunt, which also saw a very successful launch. Izzy's been kind of a breakout author with this series. So before I talk any more about her, I'm going to read her Amazon author bio and her Amazon author ranking so that you see what I'm talking about. I write urban fantasy novels for new adults. I read just about everything. Fantasy, science fiction, dystopian, historical fiction, and much more. I'm also an avid LARPer. Don't know what that is? Shoot me a message, and I'll gab your ear off about it. I love to talk with fans, so don't be shy. Be forewarned, though, I can rant a good bit. I grew up in Wilson, North Carolina. It's a small town about an hour east of Raleigh, and I spent most of my time finding adventure, filling up notebooks with every story that came to my head, and being reprimanded by teachers for reading in class. My first fiction novel came out in January of 2017, and I release about every 2 months. So sign up for the newsletter to stay on top of things. Join my Facebook group, Izzy's Wizard Nation, to get to know me better. And then there's a link that you can copy and paste into your browser to her Facebook group at the bottom of her Amazon author bio. January of 2017. I can't believe that. Here's why I can't believe it. Listen to these rankings. This is Izzy Show's Amazon author rank beta. As of today that I'm recording this is Thursday, April 27th, 2017. Number 41 in Kindle eBooks, Literature and Fiction, Horror. Number 55 in Kindle eBooks, Science Fiction and Fantasy, Fantasy. And number 99 in Books, Science Fiction and Fantasy, Fantasy. Wow. Those are just mind-blowingly impressive rankings, to my mind, for someone who first published fiction in January of this year, and this is April right now. Izzy is a self-described urban fantasy writer, and I want to point out that there's nothing in these rankings about urban fantasy. I guess that tells you where the trend in fantasy is. I mean, I don't know how urban fantasy stacks up against science fiction right now, which, as we've discussed recently, is kind of having a moment. But I have heard lots of doom and gloom about how the urban fantasy moment has passed, and clearly that is just not the case across the board. If someone can break out here in 2017 and have a number 55 in the Kindle eBooks fantasy subset of science fiction and fantasy, and number 99 in the whole Amazon bookstore fantasy subset of science fiction and fantasy. That means that in those subsets, and this is a little reductive, but in those subsets, she's not just beating other urban fantasy beneath her ranking, she's also beating epic fantasy and YA fantasy and anything else that can be lumped into just the fantasy subset of science fiction and fantasy. That doesn't mean there aren't books of those subgenres doing better in those other fields, if that makes sense. But yeah, crazy. Crazy numbers. So congratulations to you, Izzy, on your success, which looks like it's well-earned based on what I'm seeing of your product. And I hope that it lasts. I hope you do really, really well. Today's sort of big picture topic for discussion, as I've been having one every week so far, really, without calling it as much, is, hey, what is urban fantasy anyway? On the face of it, everyone can tell by branding, right? You see a cover, and by the way, Izzy's covers, beautiful. You see a cover and you're like, yeah, that's urban fantasy. Or you read a blurb, oh, that's urban fantasy. But a lot of fantasy or stories with fantastic elements like witches or wizards or some kind of elemental or spiritualist magic that are set in contemporary times fall under that category too, whether or not they have anything to do with an urban setting, which I think is really interesting. And then you have people saying things like, well, if urban fantasy is just like magic in a contemporary setting, then, I mean, Harry Potter is urban fantasy. Well, wait a minute. I don't know if I'd go along with that premise. But my chief reason is because to me, I think we're organizing these genres by tropes, which is a very helpful tool, but something I don't think gets discussed as much, which is just as important for understanding and organizing and then writing to, if you're going to write to a genre, is the tone of the novel, the tone of the writing, the voice of the narrator. And to me, Izzy's books very much read like urban fantasy. The tone, as I said, it's quick-paced. It's tight-knit. It's just got this, like, on-the-streets feel. It's urban, right? And there's fantasy. So there you go. To me, that's an important part of what makes it urban fantasy. I launched that idea forth into the internet. Feel free to discuss. And feel free to discuss in the comments section, by the way, on the bookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com. I'd love to see some love there. Good. Before we get to the reading, I'm also going to go ahead and plug myself just a little bit more by saying, by the way, the show is on iTunes now. And if you're enjoying the show and you do want to give me some love, I would really appreciate ratings and or reviews to help get our feet off the ground, because this is only episode 7. And we're very slowly building an audience and connections, but it's pretty slow so far. So if you like what you're hearing, you want to encourage me to keep doing it, help me pick up some momentum with some ratings and reviews. I would really, really appreciate it. As always, I want to remind you that the reading you're about to hear does not come from an official audiobook. This is just my reading performed and recorded for my podcast. I think, correct me in the comments if you like, Izzy, if I'm wrong, but I think Izzy has said that audiobooks of her books are forthcoming. So you will be able to find those in the future through her Amazon author page. And as always, I'll be linking to her website and her Amazon author page in the show notes. And I want to remind you one last time that all three books available right now in the Codex Blair series by Izzy Shows are just 99 cents each. Without any further ado, I hope you enjoy today's reading. Here we go. Grave Mistake. Book 1 of the Codex Blair series by Izzy Shows. Chapter 1. The bar smelled of beer, sweat, and desperation. So, you know, like every other bar you've ever been in. I was curled over a pool table, sizing up my target, with a smirk decorating my lips. I'd been playing pool for most of my life. It wasn't a challenge for me. Well, there was this time. I was trying not to play my best. didn't want the enemy to know that I was hustling him. I scratched. Huffing out a disappointed sigh, I stood up with shoulders slumped. Damn, I shook my head. Can't believe I mucked that up.
I can.
He rolled his eyes, scoffing at me.
Everyone knows girls can't play.
I bit the inside of my cheek, glaring down at the floor. Idiot. I could play circles around him. I watched as he landed two balls before missing the third. My turn. I couldn't help myself. I sunk my remaining balls with my normal ease. Show him what girls could do. Maybe I rile too easily, but I'd been subjected to this kind of derision from various foster fathers most of my life, when they hadn't been ignoring or beating me, that is. Funny, though, it was much easier to take a punch to the gut than one to the psyche.
What the fuck?
My opponent shouted.
How the fuck? You hustled me.
Oh, yeah. I was doing that. Oops. I shrugged. Time to pay the piper. Not my fault you can't play for shit. I held out my hand and gestured for him to pay up. He advanced on me instead. I took a step back, eyes narrowed as I sized him up. This was always a risk in a situation like this, that the person would refuse to pay up. I had a hunch that he wouldn't have paid me, even if I'd miraculously pulled off a win while playing like shit.
I ain't paying you, he growled, swinging his cue stick at me.
I ducked the blow, relying purely on instinct to bring me far enough down to avoid the hit. I brought my own up in an arc and caught him on his chin. It sucked that I wasn't going to get paid. I hadn't earned enough this month to pay my rent. I really needed the money. Tomorrow, I was out of time, and this had been my fallback. He charged, knocking me into the wall behind me with his bulky mass. I lost my pool cue in the process. It's pretty much impossible to avoid someone that large in such small quarters. Probably should have picked a better bar, but, you know, didn't have a lot of options. He pulled back with a balled fist, aiming for my face, but I managed to avoid again, bringing up my own fist to deliver a gut punch, even as I was wheezing in the air that he'd knocked out of me. I was rewarded with a good ear boxing. Any hearing I'd had over the din of the bar was lost, replaced with a ringing sound that was not provided by reality. Ugh. I snapped my knee up to his groin, connected my elbow with his chin, and followed up with a kick to his gut to get him off me. Dancing to the side, I regained my pool cue. I balanced on the balls of my feet, debating between continuing the fight and fleeing the scene. On the one hand, I could probably get the money from him if I managed to keep him down. On the other, his friends were starting to form a circle, and the odds of me being beaten to a pulp were going up. I looked around at the group of burly men, arms crossed over thick chests as they eyed me. It was probably an odd sight. Scruffy-looking girl, standing with a large man groaning on the ground, clutching his groin. Enough for them to pause, but not enough to dissuade them from attacking.
I should probably disappear while I still could. I sidestepped, jumping up to slide across the faded wood on the side of the pool table and find myself safely outside the circle of men.
Get her!
My attacker groaned from the floor. The men started to walk toward me. Why do they always move slowly? Is it supposed to intimidate me? I ducked out of the bar, racing down the street to put as much distance between me and them as was possible. So much for rent money. I slowed down after I'd made it a couple of hundred yards, reaching into the pockets of my jeans to grab my pack of cigarettes. I lit one and breathed in the nicotine, letting it wash over me and calm the adrenaline that had carried me to this point. I only made it another 50 yards to the next corner before the anxiety returned, the cigarette no longer dulling me to relaxation. I felt the tension between my shoulder blades, like someone was watching me. Had one of the men followed me, even after all that running? It didn't quite make sense. I was fast. I had been good at athletics in school. Like pool, I had reached a point where I'd slowed myself down just to keep things interesting. It had become a competition with myself rather than with the other runners, and that had been a different kind of fun. I wasn't having fun right now, and the memory didn't do much to change that. I glanced over my shoulder, but didn't see anyone suspicious. None of the men from the bar. I shrugged my shoulders to try and relieve the tension and kept walking. The feeling didn't go away, and I felt myself becoming annoyed. I glanced nervously down an alley as I passed by and was surprised by a pair of red eyes staring out at me from the dimness of the back street. I jumped forward, away from the sight, and took a long drag on my cigarette to get my heart rate down. What the fuck was that? I craned my neck around to look down the alley again. Nothing there. Well, fuck. That didn't make me feel any better. I started walking again, faster this time, hurrying to get back to my flat, but never losing the feeling that something weird was following close behind me. I found myself glancing over my shoulder repeatedly, but didn't catch sight of anything abnormal again. Probably just the alcohol I'd put away. Maybe it was time to quit drinking. Yeah, right. I smiled as I entered my building. That's what I'd keep telling myself.
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at benjamindouglasbooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.